Next is evening meeting on May 11th, 1996 at the South Street Preaching Center in Philadelphia.
Then I thought of talking about the chanting of the holy name, the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Which is the life and soul of the Hare Krishna movement. Some of us have been chanting Hare Krishna since 1966. Some of us perhaps have just begun chanting. And each of us has some personal experience, a personal taste about the chanting. And for those of us who are chanting regularly, that taste, that knowledge is sufficient to keep us continuing to practice it. But many of us feel we haven't achieved the level of chanting that we would like to achieve. So there's a hankering for a higher state. Even great liberated devotees, they sometimes sing in lamentation. One song by Narottam Das Thakur, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan, it begins. The Prabhupada translates that the chanting of Hare Krishna comes straight from the spiritual world of Goloka. But with chanting I have no connection. Day and night I'm burning in this dark world without seeking to make the correction. So he's saying that Krishna has been so merciful in this age in the form of Lord Chaitanya to give the chanting of the holy name even to the lowest rascals. He mentions two infamous sinners of those days, Jagai and Madhai. Even they've been rescued by the chanting, but I don't seem to be able to catch hold of the lotus feet of Krishna and chant his holy name. But some of the prayers, on the other side, they express the great nectar that is felt by chanting. Rupa Goswami says, we don't know, we can't express how much nectar is just in these two syllables, Krishna. I can taste the nectar of God's name when I chant Krishna, but I cannot taste enough because I only have one tongue and one head. If I could have millions of tongues and heads, then I might be able to approach the real taste of chanting Hare Krishna. It's an ocean, and I'm not capable of tasting it. But until we reach that stage of pure chanting, it's called Shuddhanam, pure chanting, when the mind is in samadhi or in trance on the holy name of Krishna, then there are various kinds of obstacles due to different offenses. And the mind, rather than stay fixed on Krishna's sweet names, goes to many other different things. Because we have different material tastes, rather than just surrendering to Krishna in his holy name. So this process is very simple to do, chant. But when we do it, because of our material taste, the mind goes here and the mind goes there, captured by the modes of passion and ignorance. And this is our unfortunate state. So if I were to speak, after deciding, yes, I will speak on the holy name, if I were to speak just about my own progress or feelings, I might have to express too much frustration at not being able to chant in pure love of God. But the bright side is, not just in terms of being able to speak something tonight, but in my life and in the life of any chanter, is that that despite our shortcomings in not being able to chant purely, if we turn to the Shastras, we get assurance of the brilliance of the practice of chanting Hare Krishna at any stage, and we get assured of the power of the holy name and also of the goal to be reached. So, after all, spiritual life is to be gauged and guided not just by our own feelings, but by the scripture, guru, shastra, and sadhu. The guru, pure devotee, the spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada, he certainly encourages us, come on, chant Hare Krishna, it is a nice thing, it is very easy, you will attain love of God. So he's encouraging us, and all the previous spiritual masters, they're encouraging us. Lord Chaitanya is encouraging us to chant Hare Krishna. And I would like to show you from a few selections in Prabhupada's books some more assurances about our chanting. So Prabhupada has written a lot about chanting in his various purports, and many of them have been compiled into one book about chanting called Sri Namamita, a compilation of Prabhupada's statements about chanting and the different topics. So I've just picked out four places with short excerpts, and then I'll comment a little on them. And then after, I'll leave some time for questions and comments, and we'll do some chanting together. So first I have a quote by Prabhupada about the nature of chanting being the best process out of all the possible ones you might try. So this will be an important assurance to know that we're doing the right thing. Again, regardless of exactly how much progress we're making now, this is the one to do. Not another form of yoga or meditation or prayer method or psychoanalysis or you name it. Whatever other process there is for self-development and God consciousness, it cannot compare to this one. So let's read the statement from the Bhagavatam purport. Devotional service or engagement in Krishna consciousness is the direct method, and all other methods, although recommended, are indirect. In this age of Kali, the direct method is especially more feasible than the indirect, because people are short-living, their intelligence is poor, and they're poverty-stricken and embarrassed by so many miserable disturbances. Lord Chaitanya, therefore, has given the greatest boon in this age. One simply has to chant the holy name of God to attain perfection in spiritual life. We often hear that chanting is easy, and we may say, well, it's not so easy, I don't find it so easy. But that's from our very fallen position. You try something else, and you'll find it much more difficult to make advancement than the chanting of Hare Krishna. Yeah. Prabhupada says, other methods may be recommended. For example, yoga, meditation, study of the Vedas. These things, they may be recommended in former ages, but they took very favorable circumstances. You had to be very peaceful in a sacred, solitary place. You had to be peaceful. And practically the society or the environment around you had to be peaceful. Very difficult to find any of these things. They took a long time. You had to live long to perfect them. So none of these things do we have. Some of them even required money, a lot of money. Some of them required that you had to be educated, well-born. So we may be under so many disadvantages in this age. We are. So Lord Chaitanya gave a very direct method, because whatever the method may be in spiritual life, and we're not talking about material methods where the goal is to make money or something like that. We're talking about the goal of attaining consciousness of the eternal spiritual existence, which is Satchit Ananda Vigraha, eternity, bliss, and knowledge, or love of God, love of Krishna. That goal. So the most direct method given to us is in chanting the names of Krishna, because according to this science of chanting, Krishna is present in his name. When we say Krishna, we speak of the Supreme Person. Any contact with Krishna in devotional service completely transforms a person from unhappy to happy, from death-bound to eternal, from selfish to loving. Krishna is being very pure and transcendental. You just can't meet him like meet somebody on the street, go see Krishna. You have to be qualified. So all these processes are processes to purify your body, your mind, and your heart and soul, so that you'll be qualified to receive Krishna. Actually, Krishna is in everyone's heart, but it's covered over. And we're not aware of Krishna. It's within the heart. So we hear that the chanting is most direct. All you have to do is say his name. Hare Krishna. O Krishna, O Lord, O energy of the Lord. And he has empowered the name, not by chance, but he has purposely done this, and especially recommended in this age, that if you just chant his holy name with devotion, then you have the full advantage of being with God. So it's most direct method. If we don't experience the full results at first, what is your alternative? There is no better practice. You just have to be determined to stay with this one. Giving it up, because immediately you don't get results, and trying something else, that'll be most foolish. The scriptures say, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gataranyaka. In the present age of Kali, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the Iron Age, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way, it's repeated, except Harinama, Harinama, Harinama. So I think you see my point, as I'll make with each scriptural reference, that practically speaking, my struggle to chant, although it's an important thing, it's my chanting, or my lack of good chanting. But still, as I read the scripture, I start to get encouraged that certainly I'm doing the right thing. And I simply have to persist. And if you're not chanting, then you should start to chant. If you've been introduced to the chanting, if you've been initiated into the chanting and you don't chant, then you better reform and resume again your vows to chant. Those who may just be hearing about this for the first time, when a person becomes serious about this Krishna consciousness, at a certain point of practice, after about a year of serious practice, a person can get initiated and take vows. This doesn't mean that you have to move into a temple or change your form of dress or something, give up your job. Well, then what are the vows? The vows are that you give up four kinds of sinful activities and you agree to chant Hare Krishna on beads 16 rounds every day. So anyone who has vowed to do that and is not doing it is very foolish. And whatever else you are doing, running around here and there, you should consider that you've got your priorities wrong. The thing that you came to Krishna consciousness for, you're not doing, and you're doing so many other things. So that's reference under the chanting is the best method. Now I want to look at the next one, that the holy name frees one from reactions to sins. Let's see what we have here. I just have a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yama Dutas. It's somehow like a symbolic downpour of mercy. We're dry, we're parched from the hot, desert-like existence without Krishna. And then we get the rain of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, holy name. the Vishnu Dutas to the Yama Dutas. Ajamil has already atoned for all his sinful actions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives, for in a helpless condition he chanted the holy name of Narayana. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense, and therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation. So the reference to Ajamil, he was a very sinful man, he was about to die, and just on the verge of death, so that the messengers of death came to grab the soul, to punish it. But at that moment he cried out the name of God. There are many names of God. So he chanted out, Narayan! Actually, he was thinking of his son who was there. He was calling to his son who happened to be given the name of God, Narayan. And so, simultaneously with the messengers of death, came the messengers of God, Vishnu, to save him. And they instructed the messengers of death, you can't take him, although he's committed many sins, they're all washed away because he just chanted the name of God. So this is an evidence. And this Ajamil, he was not chanting like a religious student, but he just chanted by chance. So this tells us about the power of the holy name. We have karma for all different things we've done. I mentioned the four sinful activities we give up when we get initiated. Illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. Just take, for example, one category of sinful activity. Harm created to other living beings. We have accumulated so much bad karma for that. Starting from killing bugs, which we do unintentionally. Or what is people who eat meat. Even plants. If you unnecessarily kill the life of a plant, and then horrible crimes, killing fellow human beings, killing very honorable human beings, worst sins you can commit, these hang over us, and so in this life and the next life, we get reactions and we suffer. And ultimately, at the time of death, we have to suffer by taking a body, which nets out to us the punishment through the miseries of birth, death, disease, and old age. So, this is another feature of the holy name. It's so powerful that it frees you from sinful reaction, provided you don't commit the sinful activities again. You can't commit such bad sins that the holy name can't wash them away. So, it is not for you to decide whether this is true or not. This is the nature of Shastra that gives axiomatic truth. The holy name is so powerful that it can do what even various penances to remove sins can't do. Because Krishna's name is all pure, and when you chant it, you become purified. Krishna is pleased with you that you chant his holy name until you get released of sin. When I think of this, of course, I will read next that this is not the ultimate purpose of chanting, but the chanting is so powerful that this is a very first installment, but a very powerful achievement to get rid of all sinful activities. A man who commits sinful activities is thinking, what have I done with my life? If he gets some realization later and feels regret, what have I done? Now I understand. I've hurt so many people. I've broken so many laws of God. I've ruined my life. What to do? It's too late. I can't change anything. So he dies full of remorse, commits suicide or something. Or most people, they're not even aware that they've committed sins, and they die full in the midst of more sins. So we should be assured that it's so important to go on chanting, even for this purpose. To purify the heart of sinful reaction. But let me read on that the actual result of chanting is not freedom from sins, but is to attain a much more valuable thing, love of Krishna. Before I read the quote, I'll mention another thing. about this. The great teacher of the holy name, who is the disciple of Lord Chaitanya, is called Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. So he used to chant 300,000 names a day. He didn't do anything else but chant. He would chant this quota, and only then he would eat or sleep. He had so much taste for chanting the holy name. He can't be imitated, but this is the perfect attainment of chanting, to go on chanting constantly. Anyway, although he was born as a Mohammedan, he took to the chanting of Hare Krishna, and he was very much respected among the Brahmins of his time. So, the Vaishnavas. So one time he was invited to speak at a learned gathering, and they began talking about the holy name, just as I'm doing tonight, different features of the holy name. So one gentleman there said, "Oh, the holy name is very wonderful because it clears away all sinful reactions." And then another person present said, "The holy name is very glorious. Its chief glory is that by chanting you get liberation, mukti. That means you don't have to be born again in transmigration. When you are liberated, you go to the spiritual world or the Brahman effulgence. You don't have to be born again. You enter the spiritual realm. And chanting can do that. That's a fact. So this is the perfection of chanting," he said. But then Haridas Thakur was said, he's present. He said, "Gentlemen, neither of you have actually spoken the truth of the actual glories of the holy name. What you have mentioned are just byproducts, that you get rid of your sinful acts or that you get liberation. The real valuable thing of life is to attain spontaneous love for Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And this is very rarely attained. One has to undergo so many lifetimes of spiritual practices to be granted by Krishna the gift of love of God. Krishna doesn't want everyone to approach him in love of God if they have wrong motives. But when he sees somebody who is sincere and actually doesn't want something from God, but he wants to serve and love God, then Krishna gives himself, becomes his friend. But if you chant Hare Krishna nicely, he'll give you love of God." And Haridas Thakur said, "This is the perfection of chanting." However, he says that these other stages, the chanting is so powerful that the other stages, they work and they do their job even when you begin chanting. You get rid of sins. And he made a comparison to at the end of night, when dawn just begins, when the very first light comes to signify that night has ended, that's a time of relief. Because if you are afraid of ghosts or robbers, with the first a little bit of light, then you'll be relieved because you can see. So he compared that to the chanting, it's called namabhas, the shadow of chanting. You still chant with some offenses. There are 10 offenses in chanting. So if you still chant with some offenses, but you're just beginning to come to the shadow stage, that's comparable to when the sun is not yet up, but there's some light in the sky. At that stage, sinful reactions are removed. So then he says, then just as with the dawn, when the sun comes up, then you can see everything. So when you go on to chant without offenses, then you attain love of God. This is his brief explanation of the whole progress of chanting. So we're talking about chanting producing this ultimate goal, love of God. And the statement I'm going to read is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya says to Sanatana Goswami, "Of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead." And Prabhupada writes in his purport, "By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can directly associate with the Supreme Lord by sound vibration. As one practices this sound vibration, he passes through 3 stages of development: the offensive stage, the clearing stage, and the transcendental stage. In the offensive stage, one may desire all kinds of material happiness, But in the second stage, one becomes clear of all material contamination. When one is situated on the transcendental stage, he attains the most coveted position, the stage of loving God. Lord Chaitanya taught that this is the highest stage of perfection for human beings. So, as we struggle from our present position, starting every morning, chanting in the morning, with we should chant as early as possible, starting to chant our quota of 16 rounds, we should keep these things in mind, that our actual goal is to develop love of Krishna by sound association. Do you know the meaning of the chanting? To consider the chanting a prayer, it doesn't have a translation because it's made up of proper nouns or names. It's the calling out repeatedly of God's names and the names of His internal energy, Hare or Srimati Radharani. So you don't translate a person's name. It's the repeated calling of the names. O energy of the Lord, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Lord. But with His specific best names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. This is prayer. This is the best way to pray to God, is to chant His holy name. Rather than to meditate silently or to think and contemplate, converse with God, think of the nothingness, the absolute, these things are very difficult to practice. They often lead you just off on a mental speculation or mental train of thought and impersonal direction. So this direct saving method for us with our scattered brains is the very best thing, the very best prayer, to repeatedly call on God's name, even without the initial sentiment of love. You know the true story of when Narada Muni met a murderer, a murderer robber in the forest who used to stop people and say, give me your money or I'll kill you. So whenever Narada met these persons, they came under his influence and became a little pacified. And then he would convince them that they were actually committing great sins and we'll get the karma. And then so this murderer asked him, what should I do? He said, you should chant the name of God. And he recommended Rama. He said, I can't chant God's name, the pure Lord's name. I'm a murderer. I'm associated with death always. To me, everything is murder and death. So then Narada said, all right, then chant death. I suggest that you should chant in any case. Then chant death, which is Mara. So that seemed more his speed. So he began to chant death. Mara, 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 mara. So, a few maras and you're into Rama. So, he didn't start with the sentiment of love of God, but he began to chant Rama, Rama, Rama. And he actually chanted for 60,000 years in the Satya Yuga when people lived that long. And then he became Valmiki, the author of the Ramayana, and he saw all the pastimes of Rama and composed them. So we should chant, understanding the goal is love of God, and praying for that. I said there's no translation to the prayer. It's made up of proper names. But if you want to know what the translation is, the heart of the prayer of Hare Krishna Mantra, Prabhupada said it is, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Lord, please engage me in your service. That's a prayer to be engaged in loving a service of Krishna and Radha. Now I'll read just one more category from this collection. We've already reached the summit. We discussed that that chanting Hare Krishna is the most direct method, superior to any other. We discussed that it removes sinful reactions and that the goal of it is love of God. So what else is there to discuss? We can discuss the practice, which we have to do. So there are many instructions about practice, technical instructions also. Although it's very simple, there are different things that are suggestions as to how to chant, and some are more not just suggestions. The Prabhupada is, for example, we chant not silently but audibly so that you can hear. We chant japa, we chant kirtan, so there's a lot that can be said about the practice. But I want to just focus on 2 points that we should chant in our practice with faith and as a servant of the holy name. There has to be some initial faith, faith in the scriptures, faith in the spiritual master, that the holy name, Namatin Tamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Sunapurna Nitya Mukta, Vinatnam Namanamina. The holy name will give us everything that we want. In other words, we haven't attained it yet, but we have some faith that if this thing, this chanting, if I could persist in it and perfect it, I think it will bring me to that state. Or at least enough faith, let me try it, let me experiment with it, let me give it my breath and hearing, give it my time. A little faith, and the more faith, the better. So faith is not exactly the same as our stage of experience or realization. We realize that, we understand that my chanting is not so proficient because of my offenses, but the chanting itself is glorious. We should never think that the lack of results that we are experiencing is due to the chanting. Sometimes people get very skeptical. They say, oh, I tried the chanting, I'm not going to try it anymore. It doesn't work. It didn't work. It did work for you. It gave you immense benefits, even though you couldn't perceive them with your dull senses. Just read the Shastras and understand what you've gained by chanting. But nevertheless, if there is some shortcoming, it's not the shortcoming of the holy name. So we should have faith. And now, here's a nice statement about becoming, chanting in the mentality of a servant of the holy name. The holy name becomes manifest when one engages in the service of the holy name. This service in a submissive attitude begins with one's tongue. Sevan mukhihi jivado. One must engage his tongue in the service of the holy name. Our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We try to engage all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement in the service of the holy name. This helps put the chanting in the right frame of reference. It's not just something for my enjoyment or strictly for my own achievement. It's a service to God. We're all servants of God. Like the hand is servant of the body and is complete and satisfied when it serves the body, our fulfillment is to serve God. We're part of the whole. So there are various kinds of services you can do. And the chanting is a service. So when you begin the chanting, you can think like that. This is a very good opportunity that I can serve Krishna now with my tongue by chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So this is what Prabhupada says here. Chant as a servant of God. So I would like to now try to answer some questions or hear anyone's comments. But before we do that, since we've been talking about chanting, I thought we might chant together on beads. Those of you who own beads, you have to always have them with you. If not, you can still chant. If you want to count, you can count on your fingers. So, I thought we could chant one round together. It takes about 10 minutes. Right? And then, maybe you'll get inspired to ask some questions after that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes.
So I'd like to request everyone to take some time, little space, and move forward. And
exact title, and then more people can come in.
Okay. Have some discussion about chanting the holy names. Yes.
As far as the kind of job, do you have any tricks you play with yourself in order to be able to focus on the holy name more?
I have many tricks, but the mind has even more tricks. So you have to keep inventing new ones. But ultimately, it's not just a matter of some trick. Let's see. The thing that I think of more than anything else is the Bhagavad Gita verse in the 6th chapter, where Krishna says, "Wherever the mind goes, due to its flickering, unsteady nature, bring it back and place it under the control of the higher self." So, not so much the trick as the deliberate, repeated act, the willingness, without giving up, to do it again and again, to take the mind that has gone away from the holy name and bring it back again. And then, it may be that in the next mantra it's gone away again. You bring it back again. This is the practice. Controlling the mind is as difficult as controlling the wind, Arjuna says. And Krishna says, yes, but by determination it can be done. Not exactly tricks. There are many favorable practices that can be done that will be helpful. I mentioned that we should chant early in the morning. There may be some people who have different time clocks or schedules or something. So rather than say that absolute, to say it's almost absolute that morning is so favorable, because Brahma Muhurta, it's auspicious in terms of the planet, and even materially things tend to be a little quieter and the passions haven't started. But let's say chant in prime time. Give your best time to chanting. Out of the 24 hours, you know, sometimes you just can't do anything very well just after you've eaten, or if you're very sleepy or this or that time. So we should give prime time to to the important practice of chanting. That's not a trick so much as a intelligent practice. And it's a kind of yoga. It's a japa. But japa is the bhakti yoga. So, not that we follow the eightfold system of yoga, but we also should try to sit in a place which is conducive to chanting, in a temple or in a room in our house, which is a temple, if possible, and so that you can concentrate on chanting the holy name. Give yourself a chance, rather than set up so many difficulties and then try to chant. Then it'll be very hard. If you wait till the end of the day when you're very tired, or you chant your rounds when you're driving in your car, you set up, so, you know, you already have two strikes against you. So these favorable practices will help subdue the mind. I like to chant sitting in front of my murti of Srila Prabhupada. And people have different practices that they find helpful. Yes?
I've seen so many people chant very rapidly, and it seems apparently like there's no real meditation on God. It's just an obligation to chant 16 rounds, and that seems to be the focus. What is the benefit of that?
I know what you mean. And it's not the fault so much of the rapid chanting as the other thing that you say, if there's just the obligation to get the rounds done and no devotion. That's mechanical chanting. That's unfavorable. Rupa Goswami, he lists things that are unfavorable, and one of them he calls Niyamagraha, which means if you follow the rules and regulations, just to follow them without knowing the goal, which we said the goal is love of God, so someone just chanting like that, yeah, Hare Krishna, just to get them done, that's like the epitome of mechanical chanting. All he's thinking of is what round he's on, and when he's done, his bare minimum, and then he stops. So I don't, it's a fact that, of course, we've already pointed out that even mechanical chanting is helpful, because any chanting, it's, the holy name is so merciful and so powerful, any chanting will be good. But there's a verse that says, if your chanting is infested with the 10 offenses, then despite your endeavor to chant many lifetimes, you won't get the goal of love of God. You can go on chanting, but you won't reach the goal. But this, the other point you're making, that it's the rapidity that it makes mechanical, that's not necessarily so. Like we said, Haridas Thakur, he chanted many, many rounds. Why they chant quickly, or how they chant with love, even though they chant quickly, you may not fully understand in the beginning. It's one of those things that we practice because we're taught the method in this way. And as you become accomplished in chanting, then you'll begin to see that there's something favorable about filling in all the time spaces with and counting up the rounds and chanting the way our spiritual master does. He said that chanting could be done quite quickly, 5.5 or 7 minutes per round. Some of us take till 10 minutes, and some of us. And he said it's not just to go fast, but you should hear each holy name. So if you're chanting so fast that you can't hear the holy names, that's too fast. You should slow down and hear each syllable of each name. I would caution you from not judging other devotees when you hear them. From the outside, one devotee, or even more, a group of devotees chanting japa, it may sound very strange. Strange, it's not like singing. Melodious, it's a big mumble. And so, what is this? This is very strange. What are these people all doing? They're all chanting these words so fast. But it's an inner experience. It's not something that can be judged from the outside. That just because he's chanting quickly, he's not chanting with love of God. The pure devotees are able to chant, and you may not even hear them saying all the syllables, but they're saying the syllables and they're relishing the syllables. And they're calling on Krishna in love. But if you find it very difficult, if it like really goes against your sentiment, then you can chant slowly as you like. Therefore it said, there is no hard and fast rule. It's not that you have to chant fast. You can chant slow. But chant so that you can hear. You know, when you really come to the grips of the realistic practice of chanting, although it's easy, it's also very hard to control the mind. So, many of us do find that when we actually chant over a long time, that when we're chanting slowly, we're not paying attention. And when we chant quickly, it helps us to pay attention. I can't explain that logically, except that many people will say that that's their experience. Sometimes I use a stopwatch, and I see if I have taken 13 minutes to chant, it's because I was drowsing or spacing out or something. And if I concentrate on chanting and trying to chant within a certain time to get it done, that discipline or that channeling helps me. This is for neophytes. But we admit that we're neophytes, that our minds are giving us a lot of trouble, and that when we chant spacing out, we chant very slow. If we try to chant faster, it helps us to pay attention. Now, if you're talking about just, you know, calling on your lover, your beloved, Krishna, Hare Krishna, and you just become like in samadhi on one Krishna, and you just can't chant another Krishna because you're so much in love with Krishna, well, that's a very advanced stage. But usually when we stop in the middle of a Krishna, it's for some other reason. So it's good to keep moving along. And we're always chanting Hare Krishna, one after another. It's a good question, and it's something you have to work out for yourself, what your speed is. But don't generalize that everybody who's chanting fast is chanting mechanically. Yes?
Guru Dev, chanting the holy name of the Lord, it took me a long time to understand that actually by the chanting, whether you're offensive or whatever, you're chanting well, all things come of their own accord. It's not like you have to go out and make a lot of money. The chanting itself is the whole process. You know, if one is faithful in that area, that everything will come of its own accord by the chanting. Is it true that even prema is the same?
Even prema. Yeah. I don't know about chanting to make money. You're saying money will come. Money may come or not come. The chanter doesn't matter, mind. I remember once being with Prabhupada in Bombay, and we were sitting on the roof of his apartment house, 1974. At that time there was a transportation strike of all different vehicles. And so we were in the suburbs, Juhu Beach, and so people weren't getting food. And so there was some panic starting that they might not get food. So Prabhupada noticed that although other people were suffering, so far we weren't. We were getting our food and there was no problem like that. So he said, yes, this is what it, in Krishna consciousness, you won't suffer this way. Although there's a strike on and people are worried about getting food, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're getting our food. So he said that much. But then he went on, he said, but if we don't get our food, he said, then we will simply starve and chant Hare Krishna. So it's not that you chant and you get these material benefits, and if they don't come, then you think, oh, something's wrong. God has not delivered. So the real thing, as you say, is the prema. So that will come by chanting. But we have to, for the most part, do our different duties in Varnashram Dharma, Grihastha duty, or whatever your duty is. I heard Prabhupada speaking on the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was saying that he was a Grihastha. And it's not that you have to be a sannyasi to practice spiritual life. Rather, and then he wasn't like patting the Grihasthas on the back. He was, in this lecture, he was pointing out their responsibility. He was saying, you Grihastha, you have to do your spiritual practices like Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. He said, it is a matter of adjustment. Don't say, oh, that's for the brahmacharis and the sannyasis. I'm a Grihastha. The spiritual practice. He said, no, it's a matter of adjustment. And then he threw out he presented the daily schedule of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You know, he'd go to work all day and come home. He said he would go to sleep at 7, get up at 12, and then he would write books. So not to be imitated, but the point was, you do your duties and go on chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, chanting is so feasible because you can do it along with other things. But what you're saying is, if you chant, everything comes, that's a fact, and Krishna Prema comes. But you have to chant sincerely, without offenses. If one comes to your mind, you can use it. I think of like a mother with a little child that keeps running away, and you bring it back. No matter how many times the infant will run off again, the mother again and again goes and brings her back. It's kind of like that. If some visualization comes to you naturally, you can do that. Wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. It's like a reaching out and grabbing the wayward mind and bringing him back under the control of the higher self.